Turn your Bible with me to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. This morning, we are going to study the topic of pride from the book of Proverbs. You need to be specially sensitive to the person sitting next to you. Because it is, after all, it is the problem of pride. Obviously, we are aware that pride issues only happen to the other people, not us, right? Excuse me. We are all aware of that. We all laugh at that. Because when it comes to pride issue among Christians, we think that we are always right, but they are always wrong, and they are the one who has a pride. That's far from the truth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are sinful and prideful people. There's nothing good in us. Without you, we are nothing. Away from you, we are nothing, as Jesus told us in his gospel. Help us to remember this and cling to you and your word daily, that you may imprint your truth and your ways in our heart each and every day. If we must boast, let us remember to boast in you and your love, your grace, and your mercy for us. We pray for President Obama that he may turn away from his own pride and humble himself and submit to you, that he may truly come to know Jesus. Let him be a born-again Christian, that he may exalt your holy name. And we pray for our troops, who are, especially the ones who are far away from their homes and their families during this holiday season. First of all, comfort them and bless them. And most of all, we're asking you to soften their heart, they may come to know Jesus and seek your face. And we're asking you to put the hedge of protection around the law enforcement personnel and firefighters around this community. We're asking you to watch over them. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 14 of 12, verse 12 in Isaiah. How you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. Verse 13. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, and I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud, I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol. You might, if you don't have a translation, says grave, you might want to jot down Sheol, circle it, and say grave. To the lowest depth of pit. Of course, this is what the prophecy that concerning devil. You see, the pride is the first recorded sin in the Bible. Pride is the first recorded sin of human and the angels in the Bible. It started with Lucifer before human ever was created. He thought of himself too much, and he wanted to be worshipped like God. Ezekiel, prophet Ezekiel, explains a little more about Lucifer, who later became Satan, in his book. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28. Right before Daniel, as we memorize. Doesn't it come in handy to, because you memorize where the books are, you can find a whole lot better? Verse 12. Son of man, take up the lamentation for the king of Tyre, and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. sardius, topaz, and diamond, and beryl, onyx, and jasper, and sapphire, and turquoise, and emerald with gold. And workmanship of your timbrel and the pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. You were the anointed cherub who covers, and I establish you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stone. You were perfect in all in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. Indeed, Lucifer was a stunning angel, not just any angels, ordinary garden variety angels, but if we get to know this, and we were told that he's equivalent to Michael the Archangel, and he was in charge of worship. He was a seal of perfection and was full of wisdom and perfect in beauty, as we just read. This got into his head. But after he was cast down to the earth, he wanted to do something, and because he knew that his day is coming, his end is coming. So he wanted to curse he wanted the people to be cursed just like he was cursed by God. So he knew very well that would hurt the heart of God, and since he knew how much God loved them. So how did he approach the first human? By lifting up the pride of Eve, who in turn would tell her husband what to do. So husband, don't feel bad when your wives tell you what to do. The first wife made a trend, so your wife's just following the trend. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3. I know I'm in trouble already, so. Oh well. All the husband says, amen. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God has made. And he said to woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of garden? And the woman said to serpent, you may eat the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat. So far, she is telling the truth. What happened next is the problem. He said, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. What did she do? She added something that God didn't tell. She could, as I said before, she could hang upside down on from that tree. She could jump up and down from that branch. It's not an issue. She should not eat of it. Soon as God says, don't eat the fruit of that tree, what do? They hang around looking at the tree, the fruit of the tree. That's a typical of us. Continue there. Verse 4, then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. See what happened when we leave the little crack of the door open to Satan, he will come in. When we don't know the word of God, well, he will come in, he will twist, he will make a deception, he will bring the deception to our heart. You will surely not die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and next phrase, you will be like God. Underline that, please. Knowing God, good and evil, verse 6, so when the woman saw the tree was good for food, that's a physical temptation, and so it was pleasant to the eyes, visual temptation, and the tree was desirable to make one wise, that's a spiritual temptation, she took of its fruit and ate it. She also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they saw the fig leaves together and made themselves covering. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden of the cool of the day. Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the tree of the garden. Whenever we sin against God, what do? we hide. Folks, desiring to be God is the ultimate form of a pride. Let's make it very, very clear. Nobody will ever become a God, no matter what the New Age guru says or the Mormon Tabernacle head honcho says. The original man, Adam, came from the dust of the earth, and when we die, our physical bodies will turn into dust. Our spirit will go to either heaven or hell, depending on our decision to how we respond to the salvation of Jesus Christ. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25. You there yet? In humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escaped, underline next few words, the snare of the devil. The snare of the devil. Having been taken captive by him to do his will. So what is the snare of the devil? What is the snare of the devil? We find an answer from the different verse. 1 Timothy, one book before, 1 Timothy chapter 6. A novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Snare of the devil is directly connected with pride. The devil started with his rebellion against God with his pride. Ever since Adam and Eve sinned because of their pride in the Garden of Eden, we are born with this depraved, sinful nature, folks. We don't become a sinner because we sin. We sin because we are sinner from the beginning. In our depravity, pride dominates. In our depravity, pride dominates. Within the context of the pride and the devil, when we lift up our pride, we are standing against God and standing along with Satan. Do you hear me? When we disobey God, when we have a pride in our heart, we lift up our pride and we are siding the devil and standing against God. And you may say, well, I disagree. Well, I don't care if you disagree. That's what the Bible says. It is no wonder why the Lord our God despises pride. Look at the list of the things God hates most. Now we go to the Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. See what is on the top of this list. Chapter 6, verse 16. You there yet? These six things the Lord hates, and the seven are the abomination. Not just God does not like. Abomination. In a different word, it's despise. Hates with a passion. Abomination to him. Verse 17, what is the first one? A proud look, haughty eyes. And the next one is lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that devise the wicked plan, feet that are swift in running to evil. Verse 19, a false witness who speak lies, and one who sow discord among brethren. Folks, there's nothing more sickening than to see the man and woman of God who has a lot of potential and have capability and insight and wisdom to serve God and His people, but they become prideful and ruin their future. Their effectiveness and testimony have been ruined because of pride. I'm sure you can think of several people who came to that point. Pride is the problem that grips us all. While the rich man can be proud of how much he has, and the poor person think that it is an honor and prideful that he has less. While the talented woman can think of all the things that she can do, while the woman without talent boasts about how much she had, how hard she had to work. A religious person can boast about and be prideful of his own religion. At the same time, person without any religion, more like atheist, will be proud that he does not have a faith, and he's sticking his spiritual chest out. By the way, atheists are spiritual people. Do you know that? That is their religion. They believe that there is no God. There may be much pride inside a beggar's rag, as in rich people's tuxedo and evening gowns. Pride is a strange creature. It never objects lodging. It will live comfortably enough in the huge mansion, and it will live equally at ease in a ghetto. You with me on that? Pride can be especially dangerous among the people of God. Once a man came to John Bunyan, you know, John Bunyan, the author of the Christian classic, profound Christian classic, The Pilgrim's Progress. And he just finished a profound teaching, and when he came down from the pulpit, and he said, "What a great sermon you just preached, Mr. Bunyan." And the Bunyan answered, "You're too late. The devil already told me that when I was coming down steps." Satan can entice praying sister to be proud of her ability to pray, and the growing brother to be proud of his growth. At the same time, even the humble brother to be proud of his humility. So, let's think about this pride. Pride is the ground where all the other sins grow. Let me say one more time. Pride is the ground all the other sins grow. Embezzlement, robbery, murder, adultery, deception, rape, and all the other sins have their base on the selfish desire, selfish pride that makes the people think that they deserve the other people's stuff at any cost. It does not matter whether they have to take it away by force or with a deception. They will do anything to get that because they think that they deserve it. You know, it's kind of funny to hear that robbery, what would you call that guy who robbed people? Robber, right? Thief. Thank you. My mind blank. If thief, unless he stole money, let's say he stole $1 million from somebody, and another thief come by and steal that $1 million from that thief, do you know what he says? "You stole my money." That's no. Why? What's wrong with you stealing somebody else's money? That's okay because he deserved that one, but nobody else deserved it. It comes from the pride. James chapter 4, please. James chapter 4. Do you know there is a conduct among the thieves? When you go to prison, I don't know if you heard that. I hope you don't go to prison, but I'm sure you heard this word. there's a conduct among the inmate. It's an unwritten rule. It's okay to steal things from the system. It's okay to steal things from the prison guard. But if you steal from your fellow inmate, they have their own justice system. They get whacked. I mean, serious whacked. Chapter 4, verse 1. Where do you wars and the fights comes from? Come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that were in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, and you may spend it on your pleasures and adulterers and adulteresses. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world make himself an enemy of God. Verse 5. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives more grace? Therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hand, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. You think I'm tough? Lament and moan and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. The proud and self-righteous always feel that they are not treated well as they deserve. And some say, demand that they need to be, they deserve more. I say that is empty pride. Because I know that we all deserve hell. We deserve full wrath of God. For all the sins we have committed, but by grace of grace and mercy of God, he forgave us through the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Right? A lady who visited our church a couple of years ago, as you guys know, I stand at the door shaking with my wife, standing there and shaking hands with as you guys leave. And this lady just shook hands with my wife and came to me. And as she was shaking hands with me, she said, I know what the Bible says about the salvation, but I disagree. I just explained about there's no other way to get to heaven except through Jesus Christ. She said that. So I was kind of stunned by her ungodly boldness. But I said to her, you are wrong, and what you're saying is against the word of God. Obviously, she didn't like what I said, and she never came back. Whenever we say, I know what the Bible says, but... Do you hear me? I know what the Bible says, then I have to ask them, do you go with the preference of the, is the Bible all true? And you say, no, yeah, Bible is true, but I don't agree. Does Bible require your agreement? Jaybird McGee, that the guy who is dead, but he's still speaking through the program, Bible says, I believe that settles it. I disagree with him. Bible says, period. Whether I believe or not, that's not an issue. Truth says it. Bottom line is, truth stands whether I am in agreement with or not. Listen, please. The Bible says salvation through Jesus Christ is the only way to get to heaven, I don't care if you agree. I don't care if I agree. There's only one way to get to heaven. That's through Jesus Christ. In the book of Acts, it says, there's no other name under heaven we can be saved other than the name of Jesus Christ. When we say, I don't need to live in God's way, or I will do what I want when I want, and that is pure, pure pride. Rejecting salvation through Jesus Christ reveals one's spiritual ignorance, and it shows that the person's defiance that is rooted in the pride against the Lord. Let's go to Daniel chapter 4. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. The king spoke and saying, "Is notice how many pronoun, first pronoun is there. Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the royal dwelling by my mighty power for the honor of my majesty?" Three of them. While the word was still in the king's mouth, the voice fell from heaven, "King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you, and they shall drive you from men. Your dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make you eat grass like an oxen, and seven times shall pass over you, until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of man and gives it to the whomever he chooses. That very hour the word has fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from the man and ate grass like an oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair had grown like an eagle's feather and his nails like a bird's claws." Young woman asked an appointment with her pastor to talk to him about the sin of pride that she is experiencing and she is concerned. When she saw him, she said, "Pastor, I have become aware of the sin in my life that I cannot control. When I come to church for the services, I look around all the women and I realize I'm the most beautiful woman in the congregation. No other woman can be compared with my beauty." Pastor looked at her over his glasses and said, "Young lady, you do not have a sin of pride. You just have a serious case of a delusion." Unlike that young woman, the Nebuchadnezzar not only had an extreme case of delusion that he thinks that he is more powerful than God. On top of not only that, but also he had sin of pride. God has given the king for 12 months, 12 long months to repent from his pride and wickedness. What did he do? He walked around like a peacock on top of the royal palace and boasting about his accomplishment and what he is. It was time for God to pull the royal rug out from under this haughty king. God didn't have to hear the entire sentence of his boastful comment. While the word is still in his mouth, God declared that he is no longer king. King's mind snapped. Go to Romans chapter 12, please. Romans 12. "For I say," you there? "For I say, through the grace given to me and to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." Many church conflict within the ranks of Christianity start from individual pride. They strongly believe that what they want for their personal preferences in the church is more important than God and the sound doctrine of the Word of God. I'm going to talk about more about this when we study the topic of gossip. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs 16, verse 5. Everyone proud in heart is abomination to the Lord, though they join forces, none will go unpunished. Proverbs 13:10. By pride comes nothing but strife, but with well advised is wisdom. Proverbs 15:25. The Lord will destroy the house of proud, and he will establish the boundary of the widow. Listen, pride is a spiritual cancer which eats up love and contentment. Pride is spiritual cancer that eat up the love and contentment. I've never seen a person who is prideful yet has contentment. It is actually a sign of our own insecurity and feeling of inferiority. The great British preacher Charles Spurgeon poetically wonders not to be proud of race, face, and place. How true. Proverbs 16:18. You guys know this by heart, but a lot of times you misquote them. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction, not fall, and haughty spirit before a fall. Pride, listen, pride is an only known disease that everybody else knows that, pride is the only known disease that makes everybody sick, except the person who has it. Unless cured, pride is a sickness that leads to one's spiritual and emotional death. Great theologian Gary Holy, if you wonder who is Gary Holy, he's sitting way behind there. Great theologian Gary Holy said this, pride is like a hemorrhoid. It flares up often, and it is painful afterward. Very, very colorful illustration, Gary. Some biblically challenged people might inject and argue that, isn't God prideful? Because throughout the Bible, he demands worship from the people, and he constantly talks about what he had done to the Israeli people. No, God is not boastful at all. He's simply making a statement of the truth. He is the one who provided everything for us, and he deserves our worship as God. Yes, he is the one who holds our lives together. Would you put up the next verse? Can we change the slide? Did you get that? Okay. This is from the New Living Translation. In my opinion, this is a better rendering than the New King James. He exists before everything, he, that is God, else began. He holds all creation together. If God chooses to say, I'm not holding you anymore, all of our body will disintegrate. That's from the Colossians 1:17. You might want to mark it. Then the same people will say, wait a minute, how come God can do that and it's okay? And if I tell others how good I am, that is a pride. The difference is that God is the one who made everything from scratch. But what we have is everything was given from him. So if you are smart and you can do a lot of things, you have such a talent, you can do wonderful things. Is that you, Suzanne?
No, it's not.
No, it's not you. Okay. Everybody collect money from Bunny, a dollar, on the way out. Listen. God is capable to do, put everything together from the beginning. He created everything. So to Him, when He said, this is what I've done, that's a statement. When we have nothing to begin with, everything given to us, the very breath, the very life, the very intelligence was given to us by Him. How can we boast? I have to share with you this illustration. I'm sure some of you heard this before. Group of scientists that went to the heaven, and they said, we can create the same thing you created, like a man. We can create a man, like you did. And God said, really? Why don't we have a contest? Scientists said, oh, that's not an issue. We can do it. And then, so they scoop up the dirt to create the man. And the guy said, you get your own dirt, son. See, God started from scratch. Whatever we have is from God. So how can we boast when we have nothing to start with? Let's make an application. Number one, we need to remember who the Lord is in our lives and what it would be like without Him. This will keep us humble. Agree? Number two, we need to remember the fact that whenever we try to justify our own sin instead of a prompt and truthful repentance, it is the same as we are rebelling against the Lord with pride. Whenever we make an excuse of our sins, it's the same thing as rebelling against God. In other words, don't say but, right? Application number three, we need to remember that false humility that takes the lowest place among men for the sake of other people's acknowledgement is just hateful to God as the pride that takes the highest place. Folks, God is not impressed by our status in the society or in the church. He's not a respect of the person's intelligence or wealth. He's not influenced by what people say or think about us. Because He sees through our hearts and our motives. Other people might be impressed with you for what you can do, but God sees your heart. Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we lift up our hearts to You and asking You to speak to our heart. Then when we may keep the short account with You, whenever we sin, let us quickly turn to You and pour our heart to You in repentance, that we may be forgiven by Your mercy and grace through Jesus Christ. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.